Plenty. All right, sure. Revelation is a creepy, confusing, coded book. But its intention is not to instill fear in people. That's what those awful fictional books and movies try to do. Revelation is ultimately about hope and restoration. And this week's reading shows it. New heaven, new earth. No scary sea. God with us. Tears wiped away. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. Ooh. All things new. Trustworthy and true words. God was and is and will be the beginning and the end. And refreshing, free, life-giving water. And there's plenty for everyone. Earth as it was intended. Earth without all the things we've added. What have we added? War, poverty, inequality, territorialism, greed, racism, hate, destruction, trauma. And usually, at least most of that, come in the name of progress or something like it. In only 7 generations, humans have burned about half of all the known carbon reserves that nature created over 150 million years. And burning all that fuel from the ground, we've melted 40% of the summer sea ice in the Arctic. We made the ocean 30% more acidic. We've contributed to record-setting precipitation and record-setting drought all over the globe. We set the stage for most of Miami and much of Boston to be underwater before our grandchildren die. We've made the last several years the warmest on record. Warming is 10 times faster than at any time over the last 65 million years. And we've increased the rate of species extinction 1,000-fold. And the pollution that we have here, well, and the pollution that we're creating makes people sick. Climate change adversely affects those who are poor in a much larger way, too. Drought and environmental degradation make it more and more difficult to grow food enough to live on. See, we've participated in a lot of destruction. Humans cannot survive on this planet long term with that kind of destruction. And you know, we've been busy not only causing great harm to the environment. We've also ignored some really important things. Like, we've ignored childhood trauma and adult trauma as it relates especially to mental health and overall health for far too long. But guess what? In all of this, we can do better. Listen to these. These are real scenarios. These things really happened. A woman carrying in supplies for a potluck is approached by a young woman known to monopolize a lot of time with her needy rambles, born of isolation and depression. She stops on the spot and sits and talks one-on-one with her, handing off food to another. After a while, another woman joins the first woman, and the first woman then takes her leave. Thus, the caring is spread and becomes less burdensome for one person, prompting the urge to avoid the struggling young woman. It ends with several practical suggestions and promises to follow up later in the week. Contrast that with the wide walk around to avoid being trapped with a person they didn't plan to talk to. In that scenario, the individual is left literally stranded in a sea of Christians, their own island in a place where they'd been promised community. I like the first part better. Here's another one. An older man has been evicted from his home because of his mental illness and bad decisions. The church immediately jumps in with long and short-term solutions for him, everything from countless hours helping him move to attending court with him to make sure he understands the proceedings, to offering shelter. His self-sabotage gets threaded through the expenditures of time, money, patience of the church community, until a roommate is located that, as it turns out, also needs the gifts he has to offer. And together they form a stable unit that benefits both of them. Those are everyday incarnations. God indwelling and God outreaching those with mental health problems. Wouldn't it be great if we, as a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace, lived out that indwelling and outreaching? So that all we can see is a world that is good, instead of a world that is out to get us. And when we get stuck believing that a grand conspiracy is designed to hurt us or ruin us or kill us, and when we believe that our only constant vigilance can save us, may the church be a place of safety and hope. And you know, when we just don't know how out of touch other people think our thoughts are, may the church be a place of safety and hope. And when we feel completely isolated and alone, longing for social connections that we can't make, may the church be a place of safety and hope. When we're feeling utter despair and seeing more reasons to end our lives than to keep living, may the church be a place of safety and hope. Or look, when we try so hard to stop addictions that are ruining our lives, and we try again and again, but we can't resist, and we end up over and over again at that same helpless place that we would give anything to avoid. Oh, I pray that the church can be a place of safety and hope. And when our thoughts jumble, and things we thought we knew slip away, and we feel helpless, powerless, and scared for the moment and for the future, may the church be a place of safety and hope. On this Mental Health Sunday, may the church be a place of safety and hope, and not just on this Sunday, but let us be inspired to be part of that safety and hope, and to be benefited from that safety and hope. Revelation is filled with hope. New heaven, new earth, no scary sea. God with us. Tears wiped away. No more death, mourning, crying, or pain. All things new. Trustworthy and true words that God is and was and will be the beginning and the end. Refreshing, free, life-giving water. And in that vision that God has for us, a vision that can be true, we get to share the hope and restoration with everyone. No more destruction, no more separation, no more loneliness, no more exile. It's possible. Together we can make it happen. So let's begin to imagine. Amen.